Sovereign Christ Bible Fellowship Church of Columbus, Indiana is pleased to present to you the marrow of the message. We continue our Philippians study. We're at our 26th message. The title of this is The Antidote. We're talking about God's antidote for anxiety, worry, and fear, doubt. You could throw that in too. It's something that we all struggle with, we all suffer with, at least most everyone. And in chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, Paul writes the Philippian church, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." Last week we looked at how the lack of unity or lack of harmony among believers literally threatens the spiritual stability in the church. And in the case of last week, it was Euodia and Syntyche. Paul says, "Agree with each other in the Lord." And he asked the church then to come alongside and help them through their issues. And now Paul says to them, to all, really, I think, to the women and to all involved in this, to the church, "Be anxious for nothing." This is something that threatens our spiritual steadfastness and the spiritual stability, as John MacArthur calls it, in the church. And that is anxiety. We could add into that worry, fear, doubt. And developing spiritual steadfastness is critical for the disciples of Jesus Christ. We see this in Jesus' ministry as he worked and worked and worked situations in the lives of his disciples that would develop the critical attribute of spiritual steadfastness. Because where the problems of life become the focal point of our vision and of our attention, instead of Christ, we will become unstable. We see this in the disciples, how they would be powerless to behold the glory of God if they did not keep their eyes on Christ. And for us, we've been created to behold the glory of God in the person of Jesus Christ. So problems of life become the focal point. Instead of Christ, we begin to become spiritually unstable. We begin to walk in the ways, most of us begin to walk in the ways of anxiety, doubt, worry. Some people don't, but in most cases, most people do. We look at an example of this in Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41. And we have a wonderful story. For us, it's wonderful. If we were the disciples, we would think it wasn't so wonderful, but this is a situation where their problems became the focal point of their life instead of Christ, and the disciples literally became powerless to behold the glory of God. They were experientially not falling with their full weight upon God and trusting hope. And let's see what happens. We're not finding fault with them, because if we were in the same situation, we probably would find ourselves doing very similar things, maybe even more fearful than they were. But it says this in Mark 4, verses 35 through 41. "That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, 'Let us go over to the other side.' Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, 'Teacher, don't you care if we drown?' He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, 'Peace, be still.' Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, 'Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?' They were terrified and asked each other, 'Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him.'" In this situation, the Lord used an ordinary boat on an ordinary day and an ordinary problem, a common problem, and he used this to turn or shift their focus from their time of trouble or from their problems to Christ. And we have times of trouble and we're challenged in the same way. Now, what we need to see here is Jesus invited them into the boat. It was Jesus who said, "Let's go." He was controlling their circumstances. I think this is very important for us to consider. He walked them into the boat. That's normal. But the problem was a storm came up, a furious storm. But in this storm, we find Jesus is sleeping. We can say this about the Lord Jesus Christ. He exemplified spiritual stability. Well, how did he exemplify spiritual stability? You'd say, well, he was a son of God. That is absolutely true. But one thing, he was in a body like our body. He was subject to weaknesses as we are, yet he was without sin. And Jesus lived according to the word of God. Remember when he was tempted, he said to the devil, and the devil said, here, turn this stone into bread, turn these stones into bread. Jesus said, man does not live by bread alone, but on every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So he looked to the word of God and listened to how we see Christ exemplifying spiritual stability. And we learn where his mind was. He obeyed the scripture. Look what Isaiah 26 verse 3 says. It describes Christ. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is steadfast because he trusts in you. Whose mind is stayed on you. Whose mind is on God. Christ's mind was on the Father. He was beholding the glory of God. And we see as he kept his eyes continually on the will of the Father, to do the will of the Father, then Jesus was at perfect peace at all times. Because peace, this beholding, I should say, drives anxiety, doubt, and fear away. This is what our Lord did. This is what he was teaching his disciples to do. They were learning to behold him. No one comes into the new life of Jesus Christ, given a new heart and a new mind, and right out of the gate, we behold the Lord Jesus Christ. It's something that we learn, and this is what we must learn to do. They were anxious and fearful. They looked at him and they said, don't you care? Now, one thing that we have to look at, the fact is that they came to him, but they asked a question, don't you care? That demonstrates a great deal of anxiety, a great deal of fear. Well, Jesus got up. Now, keep in mind, he led them into this. He led them into the boat. He led them into the circumstance that he might teach them to learn to behold him, his glory, the glory of God, at all times, and to trust in him. So Jesus got up, and with the same power and authority as when he spoke light and sky and water and earth and day and night and life at creation, with the same power and authority, he now spoke peace. Peace be still. The very peace he spoke is the peace of God. It's the peace of God that prevailed over the Sea of Galilee, and it's the peace of God that prevails over your problems, your anxieties, your doubts, your worries. You may ask, all of them? And the answer to that is all of them. What causes you anxiety? What is the thing in your life, the situation, the circumstance, or problem that just grips you so often? Yes, it is the Lord Jesus Christ. He rules over, he prevails over these problems, and so our call is to trust him. This whole matter of be anxious for nothing is a command that we would trust the Lord. But in everything, with prayer and petition, present your request to God. This is what we see in Philippians verse 6. So this life we're to live, this life of no anxiousness, is a life wherein we trust the Lord. We've been trained in our looking at the scripture to find fault with, especially in the four Gospels, to find fault in what the disciples should have done, to find fault in what they did and find out what they should have done when faced with the trouble, in this case of a furious storm. But look at what they did. And we may find fault with the tone in which they spoke to the Lord. But I think more importantly, we see that because they belonged to him, there was a turning to him. And they did trust him. They prayed. They presented their request to God. It was just what Paul instructed in Philippians 4:6. And they were learning to trust and depend on Jesus in the storms of life. The fact is, you and I may be anxious. We may have doubts and fears. And we may be undone. But the right response is, even if it's poor, even if our tone is incorrect or whatever, but is to turn trustingly to the Lord. Don't you care for us? Now, Paul adds to it, to this prayer and request with thanksgiving. Maybe they weren't there yet. Maybe they weren't at the point. We know that you work all things together for good. We know that you have a good purpose in mind through this trial. And they weren't there yet. They weren't able to say, we know there's a good purpose behind it. And would you please cause this storm to cease? All they could say was, help. Sometimes that's all that you and I can do, but it's turning to Him in trust, and ideally to grow up and mature, become spiritually stable in such a way that we're grounded in our faith to the point that we trust Him with thanksgiving, knowing that He does nothing for our harm. He led the disciples into the boat. He led them into the storm. He did it for their good, that they could learn to trust Him. When trials and storms come, how do we react to these kind of problems? Most of us become anxious, we become doubting and fearful, but the antidote is here. Philippians 4:6, prayer of all kinds, with an attitude of thanksgiving, an attitude of gratitude. The Bible never promises that we'll be unaffected by anxiety. It never says we won't have doubts or fears. It really, the Bible presupposes these maladies, these aspects of our flesh. They're common to all of us, to everyone, believers and unbelievers alike. But we will never be free from anxiety. It's what do we do when we're anxious? What do we do when we're filled with doubt? What do we do when we recognize that we're fearful? Paul says, be anxious for nothing. He's telling these Philippian believers and us as well, be not ruled by anxiety. Don't let it control you. It cannot be the taskmaster of your life. You are not a slave to anxiety. Don't be ruled by it, but in everything with prayer and petition, trusting God, present your request to God with thanksgiving. That word, that command to be thankful, truly is a command to trust Him with an attitude of thanksgiving, where you know we're basically, you're confessing, even though you may feel doubtful and so on, you're confessing that you trust God is good. Peter addressed the problem of anxiety in this way, whereas Paul says, be anxious for nothing. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, Peter says, cast all your anxiety on Him, on God, through faith, because He cares for you. Cast all your anxiety. Heave them on Him. Lift up those anxieties and cast them on Him, because He cares for you. So He's not offended by our doubts. Whenever Jesus says, don't you have any faith? I don't think He was telling, where's your faith? Where's your faith? Is what He's saying. I don't think He's rebuking them and say, pitiful disciples, by now you ought to have perfect faith. He says, where's your faith? I think of this whenever we play baseball or any kind of sport like that. I think of Frisbee, ultimate Frisbee. It's a fun game to play. And you know, you can have a great throw and you can scan the field and so on. But if you the Frisbee's coming to you, if you take your eye off the Frisbee, you're going to drop it. You're going to miss it. 2 weeks in a row, we've been playing ultimate Frisbee. And 2 weeks in a row, at the last moment, I take my eye off the Frisbee and I've dropped it. I've been looking where I'm going to throw next. And Jesus has said to His disciples, where's your faith? A coach in Frisbee might say to me, where's your eyes? Where's your eyes? A basketball coach may say, hey, you took your eye off the ball. Baseball coach took your eye off the ball. Football coach, you took your eye off the ball. You dropped it. Where were your eyes? And Jesus is saying to these disciples, where was your faith? Where was your attention? Where was your bedrock of trust? You know, He's asking them, He's teaching them, coaching them, keep your eyes on Me. Because this is absolutely important. So Peter says, heave, in 1 Peter 5, 7, heave upon God and Christ all your fears, doubts, and anxiety. Anxieties and heave upon Him all those doubts and fears that teach you, that tell you, that repeat in your mind that God is not strong enough, that God isn't trustworthy enough, that God isn't good enough to help us in our troubles. Where's your faith? Where's your eyes when trouble comes? Where do you look? Think about when Peter walked on the water in the Gospels. We had Jesus walking on the water. He says, come, Peter. Peter starts walking on the water. He's looking right at Him. And then what happens? He begins to sink. He saw the wind and the waves, and he began to sink. First, he was seeing Jesus and he was walking. Then he saw the wind and the waves and he began to sink. So, excuse me, cast all your anxieties, cast all your doubts and fears on him in humility with an attitude of thanksgiving. It's an attitude of knowing, I am not God. I am anxious and I am scared, or I'm doubtful, I'm fearful. But here's the thing, being thankful in the midst of all those troubles, the anxieties you may have, the things that cause your stomach to flip-flop, that attitude of thanksgiving is an attitude that is willing to think, being thankful that he is willing to have us cast all our doubts and fears on him when we are troubled. It doesn't offend him. It's what he wants us to do. He wouldn't say do it. He wouldn't say cast all your anxiety on him. Paul wouldn't say be anxious for nothing if the one who has the power to help us through it was offended. Because the Lord Jesus Christ cares for us. He encourages us cast all our anxieties on him because he cares for us. So being willing to cast our doubts and fears on him, guess what happens? There's an exchange that takes place. We heave our doubts on him. And he's powerful to help when we heave our doubts on him. He helps us. He returns peace, his peace, the peace of God. And our weakness, when we heave our doubts and our fears, our trembling on him, we exchange it for his strength. Paul gloried in his weakness. He said, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. Well, you know what he was doing. He was casting his fears and anxieties on the Lord. That's what we must do. I hope we begin to see the wisdom of God as he encourages us to cultivate a thankful attitude when the pressures of life or problems come into our lives and they lay heavy upon us. The wisdom of God is be thankful. And that is, direct your prayers and thanksgiving to me. Keep your eyes on me. Where's your faith? Where's your faith? Come on, where's your faith? Look, look. The Lord would say, keep your eyes on me. Where's your faith? So important for us to see the wisdom in developing this thankful attitude. Your eyes are on him. Say, oh Lord, I thank you that you're there. I thank you that you have the power. I thank you. You never leave me or forsake me. I thank you that you care. Even when your stomach may be flip-flopping and your mind might be ready to snap, it's this attitude of thanksgiving that will cause the anxiety, the doubts, and fears to be absorbed in Christ Jesus, and we'll see him more clearly. Here's some scripture you can look up. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, that's the scripture. It says, no temptation has seized you except that which is common to man. God is faithful. He will provide for you a way of escape. He'll give you grace to work, to walk through it. You have Romans 8, 28. You're familiar with that. 1 Peter 5, 10, look that one up. And Philippians 1, 6. You'll see that God is all about his people coming to him and trusting him. It's how he works. It's how he gets his work done as he draws us to him. He leads us. I think this is so true. He leads us into the storm of life. He allows the troubles to come that he might teach us to trust him more. These problems are common to all people. That is anxiety, worry, and fearfulness. And because of it comes because we doubt the goodness, the power of God. In every case, the fundamental fault of our anxiety lies in our thinking. Faulty thinking is a result of either being unregenerate, you're not born again, so you're struggling with this because you don't have a new heart and a new mind. It could be because you have faulty doctrine, you're not thinking biblically. And could be also there's sinful acts or attitudes in your life crippling your progress and growth and the grace and knowledge of God, keeping you, preventing you from freely coming to him in prayer with thanksgiving, because your mind is crippled, is afflicted by the sins and the sinful attitudes and the results of those, and it's keeping you from trusting in him. Get that cleared up. Learn your Bible, and we'll talk about right thinking next week more. But Paul instructs the Philippians to pray. And this prayer and this prayer with thanksgiving is truly leading them to trust in Christ. Let's think about this. We need to close up. This attitude of thanksgiving, when we thank the Lord, when we're thankful even during trials, troubles, and tribulations, when we're anxious, worrying, doubting, and fearful, but having an attitude of thanksgiving, recognizing that God is in control, this attitude of thanksgiving is receptive to God's sovereign rule and reign over our circumstances, whatever they may be. This attitude of thanksgiving is reflective of His trustworthiness, of His goodness and power. This attitude of thanksgiving, thanksgiving is the evidence of the peace of God guarding our hearts like a garrison of soldiers. You can have calm without being trusting in God. Some people just do. I was talking to a brother just the other day, and he said that he doesn't think he's ever had anxiety. That is so cool. But he said, I'm in danger just as well, that I will trust in myself instead of trusting in the Lord. And so he too recognizes the need that though he doesn't struggle with thanksgiving, the call is still to trust the Lord. Here's what the Bible says. When we have an attitude of trusting thankfulness, the Bible tells us it's the peace of God that guards our hearts like a garrison of soldiers. Now, this garrison of soldiers is really a powerful imagery because it's the peace of God that guards our heart. Not peace from God, but peace of God. God's peace guarding our heart. Now, listen, a garrison of Roman soldiers would have been understandable to these Philippian believers. They knew that the Roman soldiers always were around their province, their colony, and anywhere in the empire for that matter, their duty was to guard and protect the interest of the Roman Empire and the Emperor of Rome. So the peace of God guards our hearts. It's guarding God's interest in and over the hearts of His blood-bought people. Just as the Roman soldiers are protecting the interests of the emperor, the peace of God is protecting God's interest in His people. He bought us through the blood of His Son, and He is interested in keeping us, and He guards our hearts. This is why it's so important for us to develop an attitude of thanksgiving and trust. It's this peace of God that provides us with an inexplicable inner calm and rest when the storms of life sweep over us from time to time. It's the peace of God that allowed Jesus to sleep in the boat during the storm in Galilee. But I wonder, did His disciples learn something of this learning to trust? Did they ever mature in this matter of not being anxious? Did they ever grow up? If you look in Acts chapter 12, verse 4, you'll see a great scene. Presumably, it's the night before Peter would no doubt be executed. In recent days, Herod had had James executed. He was the head of the church. Had him executed, and he saw that it pleased the people of Jerusalem. So he had Peter arrested, and Peter was thrown in prison. And it says in the scripture, the next day he was going to stand trial before Herod, and you can just imagine Herod was going to kill him because he knew that this also had pleased the people. But as he's in that Roman, as he's in the prison in Jerusalem, the Bible says there's four squads of four soldiers in each squad guarding him. And he is in the prison cell, and there's Roman guards in there guarding him. And what's Peter doing? In the belly of the beast, Peter is sleeping. Can you learn this? Can you and I develop a trusting heart in the Lord Jesus Christ? By the grace of God, the answer is yes. Trust Him. He will guard your heart with His peace.